Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 30th, 2019. From Mumbai to Berlin. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 30th of August 2019. From Mumbai to Berlin, I ended my visit to India, where I met with the Jewish community and various personalities, and now I'm on German soil. The gap between a third world country and a developed Western country is huge. It is remarkable to see how there can be two opposites like this on a single planet. In India, I witnessed swarms of people living in miserable huts and shabby shacks, neglected children roaming the streets, and suffering unbearable crowdedness and stench. It's neither day or night. Everything goes on around the clock, almost without any reference to time. In Germany, however, everything runs smoothly like a clock. Luxury towers of high-tech companies, sparkling buildings, preserved history and high-quality computing. I have no criticism of the Indians. In relation to the Germans, they are much softer, good-hearted and have no urge to harm others. But the differences clearly indicate that the world has everything in it. Nothing is missing. Not money, not food, not clothing, only positive connection between people, a relationship based on mutual consideration. India doesn't need to build lavish factories or resemble a Western culture, nor should we underestimate the needs of the German nation. Every nation should remain in its natural disposition. All that's needed is to infuse the world with a spirit of unity, education and awareness that will generate a positive balance. The forces for such a significant change can be derived from the study of Kabbalah. Working with obstacles. If my goal is to give to the Creator, then it should not be important for me whether I do it from the state of ascent or descent. I make a restriction on myself as if I do not exist, and I am only looking for any opportunity to please the Creator. I constantly live in such a sandwich. I only pay attention to my goal to bring joy to the Creator, whether I rise or fall. Then my attitude to the ups and downs becomes constructive. I evaluate them in terms of what will help me more. Perhaps it is more useful for me to reveal more darkness and all kinds of defects. Already by the fact that I thank the Creator for the evil revealed, I give him pleasure because I understand that this is preparation for merging with him. I want to be faithful to him in bad states just as in good ones and not wait for him to correct everything. If I solve the problems and stay in joy, this is a sign that I am on the right track and keep the right direction. There is no good without evil. Evil is a solid foundation with which I can confidently advance to perfect work. I always check where and how. In what form and with what power can I please the Creator as much as possible, attached to Him? I do not strive for Him so that I feel good, but because my whole intention is to merge with Him for the sake of bestowing to Him. Therefore, we can feel perfection in any state so that darkness will shine as the light, and there will be no difference between darkness and light, day and night, and everything will be united in one great day. If I do not see myself in such a sandwich, then life will constantly throw me up and down. I will not feel that these jumps are targeted, and I will not be happy about the ups and downs equally. The Creator is the healer of all diseases. Therefore, when I reveal some kind of breakage, I already have the right medicine. When I reveal the disease, it already means I have a cure. These two processes are inextricably linked. The main joy comes from revealing the flaws. The more we reveal them, the more pleasure we can deliver to the Creator. If I am ready, I will always be glad for any fall. Look, there is still a flaw. And here is another one, and more. I will enjoy and rejoice in revealing defects and regret those that have not yet been revealed. After all, a hidden problem has no chance of resolution, and discovering it is a great blessing from above. If it is manifested, it means it existed before but in disguise. If the Creator reveals bad qualities, conditions, and broken relationships to us, It is a sign of our progress. We must accept them all with joy because they are sent to us by the Creator with love. We must immediately answer Him with love, gratitude, and blessings for the bad as much as for the good. It is not good if everything goes quietly and smoothly in the group. This is similar to a family. If a husband and wife never argue, then it is not life. According to nature, there must be conflicts so that we understand each other's weaknesses and love each other, no matter what. There must be gaps and connections, and only their alternation gives a sense of life. We do not need to wait for the relationship to be smooth like a horizontal line. After all, it is known that a flatlined electrocardiogram means death. Life means beatings, blows and overcomings. There must be ups and downs. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 13th of August 2019, to learn from the descent during the time of ascent. Sorting desires. Question: how can we understand which desires we can correct now and which we will be able to correct later? How can we not waste time on something that we cannot change? Answer: indeed, there are such desires that we are not yet able to change. But it is not important. We can sort them only if we are in a group. After all, in the group I work on the greatness of bestowal, the greatness of connection. This is called the greatness of the Creator because the Creator Himself does not exist. There are qualities of connection, bestowal, and love. When I am in a group and work on these qualities, then I start sorting out the desires and thoughts that arise in me and I work with them. Question: which is more correct, to focus on sorting the desires of the friends in the group or to give them the opportunity to help me sort my desires? Answer: the most correct way is when I, being in a group, receive from my friends their thoughts and desires and I become their full assistant, ally, and even slave. I am ready to help them in everything to realize their wishes and thoughts. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 14th of April 2019. New Life Number 1136. The Essence of Human Evil.
Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the true essence of the human evil. We'd like to find out what exactly is it in order to make our life better. Be with us, Nitza, please. When I was a young girl, and they used to show movies on TV, the movies were still black and white, and these were foreign movies with subtitles in Hebrew, and I remember that from the very first moment they started showing these movies, what interested me was to find out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, and to make sure that at the end the good guys will win and the bad guys will lose. And if I couldn't find out who's who, I'd always ask my father, wait a second, he's a good guy or a bad guy? I always wanted to categorize it. And it was really interesting. Now, when we look at the concept of evil and the definition given to it by psychology, by different religions and so on, it's a pretty heavy concept. And usually it's related to some kind of negative thinking, negative action, some action that wants to harm someone else, sometimes a real desire to destroy someone and so on. So we'd like to find out, what exactly is evil? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, what is evil? A thought which is entirely directed to one's own benefit. And if so, it is directed to the detriment of others. Because we live in a society where we're all interconnected. And if I'm thinking to my own benefit, then for sure it's at the expense of others. Therefore, evil isn't about what do I cause and how I cause it to others, but it's about the extent to which I think about myself, about my own benefit. So this is the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that evil is a result of a person thinking about himself and not thinking about others, and this is considered evil. Now, we see that when we're talking about evil in our world, we see that sometimes there is a certain intention to harm others. It's something malicious. What is this desire that exists in man to make others suffer? Because then a person elevates himself, he feels that he benefits because he always weighs himself, measures himself in relation to others. And therefore he always wants to be higher than others, stronger, more successful. And that makes a person feel alive, that he exists. Otherwise, if I'm less than everyone else, I'm rejected by everyone and so on, then it's better to die than live this way. So much so. And so a person has no choice. As long as he exists in his corporeal nature, he has to try and be better than others. So a person's inclination to harm or even destroy someone else comes as a result of a person's desire to position himself in a better state than the other person. This is actually the intention behind the evil inclination of destroying someone else. This is actually what causes people to do horrific things sometimes. Mainly, what does a billionaire need to add another 10 billion to the 10 that he already has? Another 20 billion. He doesn't feel it. He has everything as is. And maybe he prefers to sit quietly and enjoy the little things in life, playing with his grandchildren and so on. But the feeling itself that he's better than others, this is what our entire evil comes from. Meaning, the egoistic evil, how much better, stronger, more successful than others I am. Maybe that others talk about me, or maybe not, but that I'm realizing my ego to the fullest, limitlessly, in all directions. These are actually my inner urges, and this is man's evil, because it's always at the expense of others. Why is the evil kind of hidden, concealed? As a little girl, it took me time to understand who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. It was hard to tell. A person is born and he doesn't know what that is. A little boy or a little girl, they're like animals. Until they grow up and start getting this human sense of society and so on, it takes time. We're developing until the age of 20, suppose, and even afterwards. For example, until the ages of 3, 4, 5, I don't even feel that I need an environment. From the ages of 3, 4, 5, suppose, I need friends. Before that, I play by myself. I don't need anyone. But even as we grow up, we don't identify evil, meaning sometimes we can be in touch with a certain person and even trust them with something really important and think that he's a good person, and suddenly you discover that he's evil. A person's close to himself, and usually he either suspects or doesn't suspect others. It depends on how he was brought up and also how he is by nature, how he developed and so on. But it really depends on a person's character. I don't even know how to relate it to a person's character, but to the degree of the development of a person's ego. If a person has a very strong ego and also a very developed one, then by his efforts a person can become one of the leaders of the nation, be in government and so on. And if his ego is developed, but not in the direction of getting along with other people and using them, then he can be a mobster or something, that he does this forcefully, and so on and so forth. Meaning, depends. There are several inclinations in a person that have to join together, meaning to use his big ego, and in what way, and what exactly is the character of the ego that he feels. It depends on a person's education. Maybe he was brought up to be really smart, and by being smart, he'll use his ego correctly. People will think about me, will bow to me, will talk about me, and so on. And it could be the other way around, that from the society that he was brought up or lives in, the impression that he got was that he has to use his ego in order to control others, and the cruder the better, like this strong macho or something, and so on and so forth. Meaning, one way or another, if he uses his ego, then it's the force of his evil. The question is it always so? Suppose I want to be a good doctor. So maybe it's okay. I benefit everyone and so on, but what am I doing? I want to make money, yes. I want for people to talk about me. Maybe I don't even want for people to give me money or for them to talk about me, but that they'll feel that they're dependent on me, that they'll bow to me and so on. That's also called evil? That's a question. That's what I wanted to bring up. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, of course it is. Because I use it in order to receive pleasure eventually. Who's the one getting the pleasure? May everyone receive pleasure, but in order to give me pleasure, that I'll receive pleasure from them bowing to me, appreciating me, talking about me, and so on, I'm willing to pay money for it. I'm willing to be righteous and not to receive anything, but still, they have to pay me by talking about me, thinking about me, and so on. So it's all about to the benefit of whom is it. So, if to add this to what you said before in terms of the wisdom of Kabbalah, evil is if my desire is to delight myself, and by this I use other people in some way, even if I'm not doing it in an aggressive way, but I want for others to appreciate me, that's also exploitation. Yes. And that I think about my own pleasure, not about the pleasure of others, then this is actually the definition of ego. And the ego is evil. The ego is evil. Why? Maybe I'm doing good to everyone, but still, it's because of my own benefit. My own benefit, this is what determines. Therefore, if I wouldn't get anything out of it, I wouldn't do anything good. Meaning, where's my intention? What is the reason that pushes me to do things, even good things, to others? It's interesting. There is, suppose, a malicious intention. You know, did you hurt someone intentionally or unintentionally? So the wisdom of Kabbalah takes it another step forward. So it's not only about did you plan to harm someone or you did it unintentionally. No, that I use others, even if it's in a good and nice way, but I use the other to my own benefit. Anyway, to feel pride. I gave you exactly what you wanted, I don't know what, I helped you in your life and everything and so on. Why? In order to feel good that I did something good for someone. And I enjoy it. So, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, still, it's considered evil. Why? What's bad about receiving pleasure? Why? Because I used my ego, and my ego pushed me to do good things. Excellent. Everyone's enjoying it. Everyone's enjoying it, but what motivates me? My ego. Meaning, were it not for my ego, I wouldn't do good to others. Right, but a person has nothing besides his ego. Someone has an ego that wants to kill others, that wants to destroy, and someone else wants to help others by his ego, like a doctor. You're 100% right. I wish everyone would be that way, that they do good things for each other, because people will talk about them favorably and give them medals and so on. However, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, there is another level of why are you doing it and what are the options? Are there different options? The alternative is that I want to do good things in the world, not because my ego pushes me to. Why then? Because I want for the world to benefit, to be well off. What's the difference? The difference is it self-love or love of others? Can you explain a bit? If I love myself, then I do it in order for me to feel good because I'm thinking about doing good to others. But what's the motive? What's the starting point that this is what I think and want? So eventually, by this, I benefit myself. Only that in this case, my own well-being and the well-being of others are consistent. Whereas, if I do it not because it's good for me, but only because it's good for others, that I detach from myself, and I feel only the others, and I act without taking myself into consideration at all, but only what's to their benefit, then here it's really an act of bestowal and a good action. Only here can you say that I'm disconnected from my evil. Okay, so you just explain what is a truly good and pure action, and only on this level of benefiting others, it means that a person disconnects from his evil, from his naturally built-in evil. Okay, now I want to understand. It means that the scrutiny of a person's intention here, the conclusion I make is that if my own well-being and the well-being of society are consistent, then great. Maybe I'm doing good to others right now, but maybe in a year or sometime in the future, my well-being and the well-being of others will no longer be consistent, and then I'll stop benefiting others. And this is the problem, because the good that I do to society depends on the good that I benefit from it too. Not that you benefit from it too, but precisely because of it. Meaning, this is the condition that I'll benefit from it. And therefore, it's not yet the good, but there is good on a higher level, where a person completely disconnects from any personal interests and calculations and wants to only benefit others regardless of what he gets from it. Right. Okay. Now we went to the complete other extreme. You explained what is the complete good. Why, in order to explain what human evil is, you took us to the complete opposite, to define what the utter good is. Because the only way that you can explain about something is from its opposite. So when you just explained what the essence of the good is, and I actually wanted to understand what is the essence of the evil, then okay, let's go back to the evil for a moment after we understood what the essence of good is. What is the essence of evil then? The desire, man's desire to receive, man's ego, his thought about himself, the calculations that he makes to his own benefit that subconsciously operates in all of us. Okay, at first, like you said, that man's ego pushes him to be more than everyone, and therefore he wants to harm others. Why does he do it? Because by that he elevates himself, and then when you measure who's more, me or him, I'm higher. There are many states where we see that a person harms other people, and we don't see that it elevates him in any way, makes him greater. Suppose a person abuses children. He's not in competition with them. It's not like my business enemy that I want to destroy. We look at a person and we don't understand why does he want to abuse children. There are many different kinds of abuse, pedophilia and others. What's the motivation? There you're not competing with anyone else. It's that person's ego, the ego in and of itself. It can't stand that as if there's something above it. So what is there that's above that person or the ego? It's not that it's other people. And it's not, maybe it's the responsibility that he feels towards them. No, not at all. He doesn't care about that. But it's that he can't stand that he is as if demanded by society or by his family, or suppose that his father is something, that he has to treat his children, his wife, and everyone in a special, soft way. It limits him, it burdens him, and so on. And this is what pushes him. So, if we compare bad behavior towards someone who is equal to me and someone who's helpless, which in the eyes of society is much worse, when you do evil to helpless people, children or old people, is there a difference? There are so many differences that it's really amazing that when you start talking about this, there are so many aspects to it and degrees. Yeah. So what do you do? From your perspective, is there a difference between harming the helpless and I divide it according to how the wisdom of Kabbalah divides it? So there are different levels to how evil a person is. So it's according to his recognition, his awareness of his ego. Maybe he's not aware of it. Maybe he's a bit more developed and he's already aware of his ego. And then because he's aware of his ego, then maybe he wants to rise above it and maybe he doesn't want to rise above it. So this is how I am and so on. Then here comes the wisdom of Kabbalah that explains to him that it's better for you to rise above your ego, because the more you rise above yourself, the more you start feeling the upper world, the creator, the general system that controls everything. Otherwise, you only feel the system that behaves as if according to your ego, which isn't the truth, and you only see a very limited, restricted form of reality called this world. And here it also depends on a person's development, that the more he develops and so on, eventually we reach a state where our general development as human beings, especially in our relationships, brings us to a state where we want to get out of these limitations, because we see that our ordinary development leads us to bad relationships and relations. No one enjoys them. The world is all the time in danger of destruction with the weapons that we have and the problems that we create in ecology and so on. And therefore, what follows is that we have to do something. But first of all, in order to do something, we need to teach people what to measure ourselves against. This is the main thing. That we have to measure ourselves against our true ego. And how can we know what our true ego is? Only if against it, opposite it, there is another standard, something that's above the ego, what we call above reason. What does not to my own benefit, but to the benefit of others mean? What does love another as thyself, which is the opposite of unfounded hatred, mean? So this is something that we all have to be taught. I have an interesting question. We hear from philosophy and religions that the source of evil is something satanic. And this how it is in everyone. What is this evil? It's really our ego. The evil force. You can call it Satan. Satan, in Hebrew, Satan, from the word lasit, to deviate. So it deviates us against each other. There's this perception that it's like the manifestation of evil, this force. Everything's inside the person. All the satanic forces, all the evil forces, the good ones, they're all inside a person. I have a question. Many times when people are caught by the police for abusing the helpless, helpless usually it could either be little children or old people. And every day you see clips. The one day, abuse of children, the next day, abuse of old people. And many times, these are people that are supposed to be taking care of them. Different such cases that someone's fate is in my hands, and suddenly I start abusing them. Many times, after these people are caught, when they're asked, why did you behave so cruelly? They say, I had a black day, I don't know, some demon came over me, I couldn't control my ego. You said that a person in this situation can't stand treating others favorably in this situation. Suddenly something erupts. What is this eruption? What happens in a person? It's their ego. A person's ego that does not allow a person to connect to others the way he relates to himself. And therefore, he has to use the others, meaning to feel that the other is less than me. And this way, a person finds himself harming others, whether it's a child or an old person, as you say, and he gets contentment out of it. He feels great joy that fulfills him suddenly. What kind of joy? Control. So it's a kind of pleasure from controlling others. And it happens in the way children treat their parents or the way they treat their own children and so on. Control. Yeah. What kind of force can balance a person out against this force of control? There is no force. We see that it even happens to well-educated, well-mannered children, educated people, people that their entire life maybe took care of different populations in a good and nice way, and suddenly they can't hold themselves anymore and they erupt. Usually it's because they feel that there is no one that can control them, and then they can show their control. It's really an eruption from a higher degree. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. I'd like to finish with something that will give me a positive perspective. Does human evil have an end? No, it doesn't. Unless we invert it into good. The force of evil can invert into good. But we can't control it. we can invert it into good. That's encouraging. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.